I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do you ever send money abroad? Well, if you do, check out TransferWise. TransferWise is the best way to send money overseas for several reasons, but the biggest is the exchange rate. When you send money with other and older methods, they usually don't give you the real exchange rate, like the one on Google. They mark up the rate and pocket the difference. But at TransferWise, they say if the rates pretend, you must not send. TransferWise is different. It was started by two immigrants who were tired of getting ripped off when they sent money home. They were determined to fix the problem. They developed smart technology, they hired clever people, and 7 years, 4 million customers later, their company TransferWise gives you the real exchange rate every time. You can send between over 70 currencies. You pay only a small upfront fee, and in the end, more of your money gets to the other side. TransferWise also has a free multi-currency account that lets you hold over 40 currencies at once and convert them whenever you like. And a referral program that rewards you for spreading the word. For someone like me, who's from Sweden, living in Aruba, and constantly traveling around, this is a dream. This is the fairer, friendlier future of finance. Try saying that 10 times fast. Test them out for free at transferwise.com/yoga or download the app. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. Today, I am talking to you from New York City, sitting here with none other than my best friend, Olivia Rothschild. Woo! Yay!
That was the intro I wanted.
You look like such a dork right now.
Right now or always?
No, right now mainly. Olivia is wearing a super sexy, bordering on very sexy, very
Nobody asked, what are you wearing?
Very tight black little dress. In Swedish, we would call it, what do you call it?
Lila svarta.
The lila svarta, the little black.
What?
Yeah, the little black dress. Oh, but that's a thing. Yeah. But she's also wearing two weird sweaters and is covered in a blanket and you look like a total dork.
It's really cold. We're sitting on the floor.
Yes, we are. So we are in New York City right now. Let me paint everyone a little word picture. We are staying at the Chatwal, which I think is the fanciest hotel I've ever stayed in New York.
Super nice.
It's super nice.
Very, very nice.
It's very nice. And we have something called the Hollywood Suite. So everything is very, I don't know, very like 40s and 50s and super beautiful. We're sitting on the floor because there was no appropriate podcast table. And we are drinking something called
Lamb's Club?
Cup.
Oh, yeah, we're at the lamb.
It's, what is it? What are we drinking?
You ordered there's this. Some ginger, some elderflower, some cucumber, gin. I don't know.
Gin. Yeah, that's yeah. most important. Cheers.
Cheers.
So we're in New York.
Yeah.
What the hell? How did we end up here?
You convinced me. Or did you?
I don't know. You convinced me.
You said it was like meeting halfway.
I fly from
which
Aruba.
Is not entirely true, but I guess
how long was your trip here?
It was pretty long because I had a layover.
You had like 15 hours of traveling. I had a 5-hour flight.
Yeah,
but you could have chosen a super easy direct flight and then it would have been like almost not really the same.
Yeah.
No, but we're here. We have a little girl's trip. We have no specific reason of being here other than wanting to spend some time together and have fun and be away from our babies, who we love, who we need space from.
Which babies?
The big ones. Obviously the men. Obviously. I missed the little babies. We missed them. They could have come.
Yes.
No.
No. No. This was strictly just ladies' time.
Ladies' time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really good. How did you feel leaving Hunter? So anyone listening who doesn't know Olivia, I know you guys all know Olivia already. Come on. She's O Rothschild on Instagram. You've met her a thousand times. She has a baby, Hunter, who is 3 months younger than Leia Luna. How was it leaving him?
Well, this time was actually all right. I remember I went to Las Vegas not too long ago, or in October, and then I cried the entire flight.
That was only like 2 months ago. Yeah,
I know. But now all of a sudden it just feels so much easier. But also I've been spending 24/7 with him the entire Christmas and New Year's. alone and Patrick was away, so it was kind of nice to get like
Patrick relief. Just had a boys trip, so
yes,
yeah, you need a little space. And me, and I've been at home alone with the baby for a month, so I also felt like when I'm working a lot and I always feel like I'm trying to squeeze in more time with her, if I have to travel in that space, I feel like the worst mom ever. Yeah. I feel so guilty. I feel shitty. I hate it. And now I was like, bye. And she didn't even, okay, she cared. She like threw a huge tantrum and freaked out when I left. But now on FaceTime, she's like, hey, mama.
Like, and she doesn't like, even, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, she doesn't even care. We're having a blast.
No, Hunter is the same now. He's super chill with me being away and also really stoked that his father is back. And going back to preschool was amazing for him. He loves it.
Yeah, for Leia Luna also. A lot of, so we took some questions from social media. Not that we need questions to keep this conversation going. Sometimes I'm like, the only thing that I'm tentative about doing podcasts with you or Dennis or like people that are the closest to me is how inappropriate you sometimes get.
Me?
Yeah,
most
everyone.
Most diplomatic person on earth.
Sometimes we get a little too personal on this podcast, especially while drinking. Which we also very rarely do. Yeah. But we took some questions from social media. And one of the main questions that everyone has asked is Hunter and Leia Luna going to get married? And what are we wearing to the wedding?
Most essential question in life is very important.
What are you going to wear? I already know.
I think we should just like take one step back.
No, I'm envisioning, you know like those 1890s, the really big hats and like poofy dresses when women just walked around in gardens and did nothing.
That's so funny. Exactly what I was thinking.
That's what I'm envisioning. We'll each have a basket of like flowers or berries or something and these huge
hats. It feels very 1800 to have like a set marriage.
Yes, 100%. It is very 1800s. But maybe it will be Hunter and his boyfriend getting married and Leia Luna is best man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or the other way around.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, but okay, we our kids really do love each other and they're super similar.
They are very similar.
Weirdly similar.
Maybe Lunis is a bit more feisty.
Yeah.
I wonder where that comes from. But they have really like the same tendencies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do the same things at the same time.
Yeah.
It's super funny. Are you gonna have another baby? Are we gonna have another baby, Olivia?
Yeah, I think we're gonna have another baby, but I just don't know when. It has to come naturally. And
it has to come completely naturally, organically on its own. But we have to sink it. So it's just, we have to both organically, totally naturally get pregnant exactly at the same time again.
Mm. Good luck.
Yeah, okay. Good luck. Maybe we can have like Dennis and Patrick sync up. Talk about it.
How'd that go?
It's like they have their periods synced already. I mean, the male version of whatever.
That's how it works? I didn't know.
That's how it works, okay. For sure. Yeah. Okay. Like the other day, what was it? So you guys are like, I don't know if this is not a secret, but you're talking about maybe not living in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not a secret.
It's not a secret. And then Dennis, like yesterday, he was like, hey, did you know that Patrick and Olivia are moving to Portugal? And I was like, first of all, they're not.
No, we're not.
They're not. And second of all, like, yeah, like, I mean, like they talk about that, you know, from time to time. Like, doesn't Patrick tell you that? I'm like, no, he didn't tell me anything. I'm so upset. I had to hear it from someone else. And I'm like, well, how often do you guys talk now? Every day. And I'm like, well, what the fuck do you talk about? Sex jokes.
It's like been going on forever.
But it's sex jokes between them. Like, that's important to clarify.
Not female.
It's not like female derogatory sex jokes. It's sex jokes between what they are going to do to each other when they meet.
Also inappropriate.
Also super inappropriate. But they do have the best relationship. So what are we doing tonight? This is our first drink. We are without babies. We slept like 10 hours.
Yeah, we did. I'm so happy I was able to sleep.
And you're like 6 hours off and still we slept till 10 a.m.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going for dinner with my cousins.
Yay.
Who live in New York. And
at something called Soho House.
Yep.
I don't know anything about New York. I know where Central Park is. I know how to Google my way to all the vegan places. Already we've had, I had dinner at PS Kitchen, which was awesome. A lot of people recommended it. And apparently it's I don't know who owns it, but 100% of their profits are donated to charity, this vegan restaurant. Yeah. Crazy cool.
Super amazing.
And then we had breakfast here at the Chatwal, which was really good. And then we had lunch at Beyond Sushi, which is this vegan sushi place.
Very good.
Too. Super awesome. And then Olivia shoffed so much.
No, guys. I didn't.
I know.
Are you listening, Patrick? Olivia, she's gone rogue. She's totally rogue. She's totally
Okay, so to the story, I get anxiety, like really bad anxiety if I shop too much. And I never, ever shop. I literally wear the same mama clothes at home all the time. So now when we were in New York, we thought, okay, let's do it. And then shopping with Rachel is really difficult because she enters a shop and she just brings 100 pieces into the changing rooms and she makes a whole mess. And I'm like, oh, I just chose my 3 little pieces over here. Oh, but I can't buy this. Oh, no. Oh,
literally, I came with like 3 bags of like things. Like we went to Free People and I'm like taking up 2 changing rooms to try on everything. And Olivia, like she has like 1 bra, 1 little shirt. She's like, oh my God, it's $28. No, I can't justify that.
I just like to make fun of you because it's so cute.
Yeah. You never buy anything for yourself.
No. So now you're not a shopper. I'm actually very happy with what I bought today.
Good. And this is just day one.
No, this was day only one.
People are going to get upset if we keep talking about it. Okay. So I live in Aruba. There is zero opportunity for shopping of any kind in Aruba.
Yeah, like that's
zero, 100,000, like zero. It's just not possible. Stockholm has good shopping. You just don't shop.
Yeah.
So for me, going to Free People like once in 2 years, it's kind of exciting. No, I bought like a pair of pants, a kimono. I have no kimonos.
Yeah.
Olivia's like, I feel like I've seen something like this
in your closet.
But everything you try on is like another version of something you have.
Same for you. Well, I guess we walk into Urban Outfitters and there's like a mannequin there. I'm like, oh, Olivia, what does it feel like to stand so still?
I love that you're telling your own joke again.
You were so happy really with it.
Good joke.
And the mannequin was wearing all of your clothes. Like that high waisted flared pant.
I am. Is that what you're saying?
A high waisted corduroy or velvet flared pant. And then like a little top. Mm-hmm. 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 And then something like.
Was it nice?
Super cute. Yeah. You were just very, very frozen.
I'm just a little stiff.
It's just the way I am.
I'm so happy to be here. It's already so much fun.
Yes.
It's the best.
It is super amazing.
We live so far apart.
Yeah.
I don't think you should move to Portugal. I think you should move to Aruba.
It doesn't matter for you if I live in Sweden or Portugal. You can come to Portugal.
No.
I don't know where we're going to live.
Anything about... Okay, I've never been to Portugal. Portugal sounds... If it was like a vacation, I'd rather go to Portugal than Sweden, obviously.
Yeah.
But chances of us randomly going to Sweden is way higher than us randomly going to Portugal. That's why Aruba is a much better destination. But it's okay. I have 3 more days to talk you into that. So that's totally cool. But something that people asked a shit ton is how do we maintain our friendship while living so incredibly far apart? Because we live thousands of miles apart. I live in Aruba. You live in Sweden.
I don't know. But I feel like we kind of see each other pretty often. No?
Like, I don't really walk around missing you.
What?
We talk, like, every day.
No, but I miss you sometimes, though.
Yeah. No, for sure. I miss, like, stuff like this. Like, trips like this, going to dinner casually because we want to hang out.
Yeah.
But it's not like we have weeks and weeks where we don't talk. Like, we talk all every day.
No, yeah. Exactly. We keep in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's definitely an important part of maintaining your friendship.
But some people are harder to stay in touch with than others.
Yeah, and that's okay too.
Yeah, but why is that? What do you think?
I feel... No, I just... I don't know, but I feel like maybe we have more of the everyday life stuff to discuss, you know? Like, we talk about things about Hunter and Loonies and work. We talk about all these things that happen.
About our husbands.
Yeah, those things.
Sometimes.
But maybe other people you can't really relate to, but you love hanging out with them, you know? Then you don't keep in touch as much, maybe.
That's true. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think I have or we have friends who maybe aren't in the same place in life.
Yeah.
And then it's harder. Like, I feel like we can turn on FaceTime and we can, like, sit there and eat breakfast and feed the babies and just talk for a really long time and not a big deal.
Yeah,
but then I have other friends where it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
And then you have to start over the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, some things are hard and some things are easy. But there's also friends you don't have to stay in touch with every day, and then you see them and it's like
totally yeah,
exactly.
Amazing.
I mean, sometimes we don't really talk. Like if you're super duper busy, and
I don't talk to anyone.
Like, she's the one who's busy. But if you're super
busy too.
Yeah, I'm busy, and also with the time difference, it's a bit trickier. Yeah. But then sometimes we don't talk, and that's fine because when we pick up the phone, it's like nothing again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a moment the other month or the other week, I don't know, I think a month ago maybe, where I was like driving the car home having a little meltdown, and I was like, I just wanted to call you, but it was the middle of the night, Sweden, so I had to send you like a voice message and cry.
I woke up to a message of Rachel just crying on the phone saying, I just wanted to call you.
That sucks. Yeah, that I like sucks. If we were in the same time zone, I could just call. And then in the morning, I slept it off. I had this big talk with Dennis. I felt totally fine. And Olivia's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's over already. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Should I come over? Are you all right? No. Yeah. But that was also a question that we got. So I had a really rough fall. How was your 2018? If you would like sum up last year, how was 2018 for you?
I don't know. 2018 was like pretty challenging, actually. It was not an easy year.
No.
It was like things came up to the surface, like personal stuff that I dealt with. And then in the middle of all of that was our wedding and, you know, the whole thing having a kid still. It's still pretty new, but and me going on maternity leave, so much changed.
A lot of change.
Yeah. And it was not a super smooth year.
I mean, amazing stuff happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Like your bachelorette and the wedding and all the family and the,
a
like
lot
travel.
Of things
and
happened.
A lot of big life changes happened. But it was also like a little bit of a struggling year. I don't know. Some years you look back and you're like, ooh, like smooth ride.
Yeah.
2018. No one I've spoken to had like a super smooth ride.
No, that's what I feel too. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people had really big, good changes though going on. And that's what 2018 was for me, I think.
But change can be really hard.
Yeah. No, it is.
So what's it like to be married?
What's that laugh? No, I don't know. I don't feel any difference. It's just nice to be able to say he's my husband. No, and also like having the wedding. That was nice.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Most beautiful wedding ever.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
But other than that, it's pretty much the same, which is
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think for anyone, what's different is like the feeling of lifelong commitment, but not everybody needs that. Like some people just, you know, stay together forever and it's don't enjoy that, I guess, that party part of it. But it's nice it's nice to have a husband.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
I like it too. Yeah. No, it is definitely. How was 2018 for you?
Yeah, same. I mean, like so many highlights, it's for sure the funnest year with a baby. Like I think about just the babies last year, like just how much fun it's been to watch her grow and become a person, you know, with her own thoughts. Like it's been so many, all the highlights have been related to baby or your wedding and like fun trips that we had. But no, it was a huge struggle.
Oh my God, they're ringing our door.
Why?
I don't know.
No.
Yes.
Okay, wait. Intermission.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
We are all looking for a fresh start this time of year. And for most of us, our New Year's intentions are about being healthier. But there's no quick fix when it comes to better health. It's all about starting good habits and actually sticking to them all year long. From what I have learned, it doesn't work if we try to stick to something that forces us to change to fit the demands of society. It only works when we genuinely want to make a lifestyle change to feel better. Well, enter Ritual, the obsessively researched vitamin for women. Ritual's essentials have the nutrients most of us don't get enough of in our diets, all in their purest, cleanest forms. No shady additives or ingredients that actually do more harm to your body than good. For obsessive label readers like myself, all of Ritual's vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients and their sources are 100% out there for the whole world to see. You can head over to the website right now to take a look. From D3 to omega-3, Ritual fills the gaps in women's diets with a fresh, minty flavor and no fishy aftertaste.
When it's time for Dennis and I to start discussing baby number two, Ritual is the prenatal vitamin reborn. It delivers everything from DHA to folate that women need all stages of their pregnancy. For your added convenience, Ritual is subscription-based. For $1 a day, Ritual is delivered right to your door. Not good at keeping on top of your vitamin game? Well, Ritual understands and lets you easily snooze your subscription if life gets in the way. But I have a feeling that, like me, Ritual will become your new ritual too. Better health does not happen overnight. Start your year out with Essential for Women, a small step that helps create a healthy foundation for 2019 and beyond. Visit ritual.com/yogagirl to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Olivia just made the best joke. Say it again. I turned down service.
You turned down the turn down service.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very good. A question someone has written in also is, how do you support a friend who's going through a challenging time from afar?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've been there for you enough.
But don't you feel like that about all of your relationships all the time?
Like, I'm never there for anybody. Is that what you're saying?
You're the type of person who's like, you give a lot of yourself like, and you always feel like, oh, I should do more. You're always supportive of all other people in your life.
That's true. But I mean, it is difficult to, because when I don't see you and like feel how you feel, you know? Of course, I can get a sense of it, but I'm not there with you. It's difficult to even know what to do, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, you had... So I had a little bit of a burnout-ish. I'm doing air quotes burnout.
You had a burnout.
I had a burnout.
Yeah.
Ish.
You're just unwilling to say it was.
I don't want to say... Even yesterday, I was like, oh, I've been trying to nap every day because I'm so tired and I'm not sleeping well and I just lie on the couch. It doesn't matter how tired I am, I can't nap. She was like, yeah, that's a sign of being burned out. I was like, what? No, it's not. What do you know about it? But you had a burnout-ish.
Yeah, I had a burnout.
You had a major one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's difficult because you can't compare with
it. It's hard to compare, but you had one that brought about like a big life change.
Definitely, yeah, where I had to quit my job. And
so what happened?
Well, the day I had been working a lot for a long time.
This was funny. This was the year I got married.
Yes.
And you were working like...
It was the most stressful year of my life.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. And then while working, you were like helping me plan the wedding and doing brides, the maid of honor stuff and like left and right traveling.
Yeah. I booked all our tickets wrong.
What? Oh, yeah.
For your bachelorette party. That's how stressed I was. The wrong date. Oh, yeah, yeah. But,
oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that culminates over a long period.
And it wasn't then, like from one day to the other. No. And then suddenly it happens.
And then, you know, I was like, oh, I had no time to eat lunch because I had to work so much. And then you don't realize, but you're so low on energy. And then you get dizzy and you're like, oh, my God, I must sleep more or drink water or whatever. And then,
so what did you? What was your work? For anyone who doesn't know, what was your
work? Was working at a PR company. So I was a project leader in public affairs.
Which is not like a job that, I mean, knowing you like our whole lives, when you took that job, everyone was like, huh.
Yeah, no, I went from studying social entrepreneurship and I was like, I'm going to save the world. And then I took a job in PR. But at least it was public affairs and not marketing.
But you learned a shit ton. Yeah.
Yeah. But I learned a lot. I'm super happy that I did that because I wouldn't be where I am today without that experience at all. So I'm very, very happy that I went through it and like that I can look back at it and see what was wrong with it or for me, you know. But at the time, I was always blaming myself, like I'm not good enough. I should just work harder. Maybe this is something that I'm not understanding. Like I felt like an outsider in that environment, you know, like what is it that I
because you felt like
can't
you couldn't keep
out?
Up?
Yeah, I couldn't keep up. And also...
I didn't have that way of thinking. I just felt very different. And I'm probably a lot of my colleagues did that too, you know, without
saying
or showing anything, because I know a lot of people had burnouts every week there was another one.
But that pressure, was it this, you know, climbing the career ladder, this corporate idea of advancing and doing better, or what was your motivation to work such hours? And
well, for me, I always had a strong sense of like just doing a good job. So for me, it was all about doing what I'm supposed to do. A lot of people, of course, want to climb the career ladder. And of course, I wanted that too, but I didn't have that strong sense. And that's why I think I just quit. I mean, it was just not for me. But yeah, it got to the point. So one day I came from a meeting and I had to hurry home and just change. And then we had like a work dinner. And then on my way home on the subway, I just collapsed. So I just fell. I made my way home. There's some people helping me, I remember. And then I just told my dad to come over, and he came, and the whole apartment was like, it was like I was in a storm.
But do you remember feeling nauseous or feeling?
Yes.
What was it? Yeah.
Super nauseous, super dizzy.
And then things just went black.
Losing grip of reality.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And then after that, it was like I was hungover for weeks.
And so then, like a stress-induced collapse.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was right before Christmas holiday, so I could really take some time off and just like reflect and think about it. So the first thing I did when I came back was to resign.
And it was good timing.
Yeah. And then I came to Aruba.
Yeah.
Oh, I took my driver's license first.
You got your driver's license. She quit her job, got her driver's license, which is also work. That's not like...
Yeah, I did it in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then once we started 109, you moved to Aruba.
Yeah.
Like then, all of that happened in like a month. Yeah.
And then I met Patrick and then I got pregnant and then we moved back.
The rest is history. Yeah. I mean, really. So if it wasn't for that collapse, you know, you wouldn't have...
No, exactly.
I was thinking, I don't know who I was telling this story to the other day. It was someone who wasn't at our wedding, but when me and Dennis were getting married the morning of, and we were getting ready in our room, like me with all my bridesmaids, and then he had his own room with his groomsmen, and you had to bring him something or check on something,
yep.
And you went into the guy's room, and then you came back, and you were like, Rachel, Patrick, how long were you going to keep him hidden? Because you guys had never met and you didn't know he was like a really good looking guy.
You never
was
told
like,
me about him. I think because of a reason.
Because of a reason. The timing wasn't right. You guys were both in relationships and stuff.
Well,
but it's so funny. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have been in Aruba and Patrick wouldn't have been there. And then he was single and then you were single. And then...
So in that way, in that sense, you really helped me from a distance. Because you were like, Olivia, let's just face it, you're not made for this, quit and come over here.
Yeah, selfishly so. No, but I was thinking about that, how like that year, because that year was also a busy year for me and I got married and Andrea died and all these things were happening and you were pushing yourself toward this or getting toward this place of a burnout. And I was like thinking like how did I support you that year? Like probably not that well. I can't really remember that year
super well. Like, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't think I was expecting you to... You know,
no, but same, like I'm not expecting you to either. But in the end, it's like you're the person that I know I can always call, that I can always freak out with, that I can always tell everything, even if it's bad or shameful or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if we can be that person for each other, then we don't have to live in the same country.
And that means you're there for each other.
Yes.
I mean, in the end.
Yeah, high five.
High five.
Epiphany, check. I'm like reading. Olivia compiled the questions from social media. I'm reading the question up top. Sex, and more sex.
Yeah, that was a question. It was written exactly like that.
No. Yes. Someone wrote that in.
Someone wrote that.
What do they mean? Do they mean sex between us? Do they mean sex between our,
I don't know.
Between our husbands? They are, you know, in a long distance affair.
I don't know what they mean. What does sex mean for you?
Yeah, but...
What?
Do you want like an anatomical like lesson in what sex
is? No, maybe more like the philosophical part of it.
I think people have asked, I get that question a lot, like sex life and after baby.
Okay.
Like that's, I think, is a big thing. Yeah. I don't talk about sex a lot on this podcast for, well, first of all, it's like one of the private parts of mine and Dennis's life that we don't really share online. But also, my family listens to this podcast. So don't really go in there too deeply. But
Stop! That's what she said!
Oh my God. We should do a That's What She Said count because we're both really good at saying that. But how is that, I guess, as mothers, maybe that's what the question, I can pull a question out of the sex and more sex, after becoming a mother or being working mothers, which we both were or are or ish. Mm. You were for the first, how old was Hunter when you like went on proper maternity leave? Because you didn't do that right away.
No, he was 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is the balance, I guess, of maintaining your relationship, including sex or just time alone and all of it after having a baby?
I don't know. The one thing I can say for sure is that it really changed a lot. Like the whole concept of sex for me changed a lot, I think.
Why?
I don't know. It was not like I didn't want to have sex anymore or I just was more maybe in touch with my body. Uh-huh. So I don't just have sex, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it has to really be meaningful, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I learned a lot about my previous habits by realizing this. Mm. So it was kind of a big deal, I think, realizing all these things that... Yeah, the way you just think about sex.
That's what. But also having your body be really purposeful for another reason. I think that was a big thing for me, at least. Like, I don't know. I definitely felt more respectful toward my body where, I don't know, like I got a little more assertive in my body. So before it was like, if I wasn't really feeling it, I'd be like, okay, well, let's have sex.
Yes.
You know, after having the baby, I'm more like, hey, no. If I'm not feeling it today or right now, I'm not. And also while breastfeeding, that was a challenging thing for me because it becomes this, like, our bodies is something really sacred that we share with our babies. So how can you also at the same time have this very sexual relationship, you know, with your... It can't be hard for the boys.
But I don't know if I felt like that, though.
No, I felt like that really... It disappeared after I stopped breastfeeding. Yeah, but I definitely had that, like... I don't know.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't work like that.
No, but it's not. And then time, sleep, all that stuff.
Oh my God. Sleep is a major, major one.
Major one.
When you have the time, you just want to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then it's also, sex can be really energizing. And also, you know, if you don't have a lot of time for each other in the day because of baby and you're working and all this stuff, sex can be like the one moment where you're really actually intimate with each other in a really real level. So, you know, not opting for that can also be an energy drain, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think what's important maybe is just to know that there's no pressure to do anything. To have it any way. Like if you don't feel like having sex after giving birth, that's totally fine. And then let it just come back. It will naturally, or it won't, whatever. Just everything is okay.
I felt like I could kind of see, like sex or me wanting or not wanting to have sex was a really good reflection of how I was feeling in our relationship, which is something that I didn't have before. Like before, sex was just kind of sex and I didn't relate to it in that way. Yeah. But if there was a month where I felt really unsupported by him or I felt like he wasn't prioritizing me and the babe, or I had like, I don't know, resentment or something built from something else, then my body was like, hell no.
Yeah.
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 In a way where that was totally new.
That was, that's something that I can really like feel as well, relate to. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's very good
thing. I think so.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to hear their side of the...
of the story. They should start a podcast together. How cool would that be?
They would never do that.
In a million years. Mm. They would be so inappropriate. We could never have that see the light of day.
No, they're both very private people.
But they're also very inappropriate people and politically incorrect. Both of them. We don't want the world to hear so their intimate conversations.
For sure, for sure.
No, that's certain. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
The girls over at Lone Deodorant asked me to share my own experience with a natural deodorant they passionately believe will convert us all. And I am more than happy to do so because Lone Deodorant is what you will find in my bathroom at home or in my office at work. Made with sea salt from the Dead Sea, Lone Deodorant has naturally deodorizing properties that actually work, unlike other natural brands I've come across. Before Lone, I tried to switch to a natural deodorant so many times in my life, but I always went back to those toxic brands full of chemicals. I just couldn't find anything natural that lasted longer than an hour or two. And when you're living on a tropical island and working as a yoga teacher, getting up close and personal with students, that just doesn't work. With one single application, Lone keeps me fresh all day long, without putting toxic chemicals on, in, or near my body. It's free of aluminum, parabens, and all other toxic usuals. It doesn't stain your clothes and contains no baking soda, so there's no chance of getting those itchy and rashy underarms. Actually, unlike many deodorants, Lone's ingredients condition your underarms, resulting in smooth and soft armpits with long-term use. Smell fresh all day long doing those activities you love and do it confidently with Lone deodorant. If you're ready to try it and see if it will end your search for a deodorant you can rely on, visit their website lonedeodorant.com. That's L-O-N-E deodorant.com. Use the code YOGAGIRL for 20% off of your first order. That's the code YOGAGIRL at lonedeodorant.com for 20% off of your first order of a deodorant you will use for the rest of your life. Okay, shifting gears completely. A very important question I received.
Oi. What is that?
Does Olivia shave her legs?
Seriously?
Yes?
No, it's not a question you made it up.
How did she do
No,
that?
I never shave my legs. It's a true story. I do wax them sometimes, though, at home. If I'm at home, I never do anything with them. Like, if I don't go to a particular, like, evening where I have to really showcase my legs or whatever.
What you're wearing right now.
Yes.
Sans the blanket.
Then I do it because I know that I'm going to be uncomfortable if people start looking. But if I'm at home and like it's just Patrick or you or whatever, I just really don't care.
At all?
Nope.
No. So what is it about that, the shift of really caring what people think when you're out and about? Is there certain types of settings where you care more?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like what?
I don't know. It's like if I'm just among friends, okay, whatever, they can say what they want, but if I don't know the preferences of people, like if I don't know what background they have and what they think about it, I just rather feel comfortable
and safe. Having no hair is like universally accepted.
Yes, which is weird. Which yeah, is it weird. Should be the opposite.
Right.
Yeah, but so then I actually take it away.
Yeah, and I'm okay. How would you describe my leg hair situation right now?
They're, I'm trying to find a nice word for it. But they're very, they keep you warm.
It's helping me in New York right now.
I don't even need to wear pants. But I mean, compared to what I can have, it's nothing.
That's such bullshit. I have seen you at your hairiest. My hair is like pitch black and really coarse. You get these,
but that's because you've been shaving them for so long.
Yeah, but how do I get them to turn more chill?
No, you just let them be.
Yeah, but I am.
And also,
them
if
be.
You wax this them is every a now month. And then, it's less.
Yeah, but
is that
I,
a month?
Huh?
Is that a month?
Yeah,
but that's nothing.
And I went out with a friend of mine, with me Nyon a couple of days ago, and I wore a short dress and nothing. And I went to the beach. Like I also have those social situations. Okay, I'm going to be around people or. I went to that wedding and I had another dress I wanted to wear, but then I was like,
I don't want to show you
like to this crowd, like this, like a fancy
exactly.
wedding.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
yeah,
I think they would look at me and frown or like,
right.
whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, but I aim to become so self-confident that I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
In any situation. So if I want to shave or not shave, that's not the point. It's just,
that's my goal as well.
Yeah. But how do we get there then?
On the way there, I just need to relax, you know?
But I feel it's every time I shave and I give in, it's like
it's
a little
failure.
Disappointment. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I can see that.
Because it means
too,
like conformed.
Yeah, I know. But until I just feel super relaxed with it, I know myself. And then
Yeah, but don't you think maybe that the feeling relaxed about it, it comes from exposing yourself to those situations and then realizing that nobody actually cared?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, maybe. That's probably true. I'm just being a little bit of a coward.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's true.
No, but I am too. Like, I go through total, like, now it's been a month and I feel really good about that. But then.
But same under your arms and the armpits.
Armpits, I always shave.
Yeah, no, I don't always.
No.
And if I do, I wax also.
What? That's so painful.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, but it's not painful.
People were like, oh, you don't want to shave, just wax. Or you epilate, like that machine.
Oh, remember when we did that in Marbella with Daniela? Ages ago, and this like old epilator.
How do you call it in English? It's this little machine that pulls the hairs out with the roots.
It's so painful.
It's and the worst. Whoever like invented that must be a fucking man. It's a man for sure who invented that shit. It's like a torture device. And we were our third friend, Daniela. We were in Spain, and I don't know why I was like. That's what I did. And how old were we then? That was like.
We were like. 18, 17?
17, maybe. Yeah. And we were using that machine to pull our hair out of our roots, screaming with pain.
Yeah.
And then we were convincing Daniela, like, no, it doesn't hurt. Let us do it.
So she lied down on the floor, you remember? And we held her arm backwards so she wouldn't move.
Oh, my God. And we, for her armpit.
That was
hardcore. She yelled. That was
not so nice.
No, not so nice.
I feel like it doesn't like grow out nice either. Like
no, but how can you even do that?
Messes up with your.
No, but when people say that, like there's other ways to, if you just don't want to shave. Like, I hate shaving. I hate it so much. I hate it. I don't mind shaving my armpits because that takes me 5 seconds. It's one stroke.
Yeah.
In each side, and then it's done. Like that's not a big deal for me. So I don't really care about that. But shaving my legs, like it's a whole fucking process, and I have to do it every other day.
I don't know how you've been able to do this all these years.
No, I mean, I'll wear pants when I want to wear a skirt because I'm like too tired to shave my legs. Or we're going to the beach and I'm like, oh fuck, and I like run into the shower and I panic shave and I hate it so fucking much. Like, who gives a shit? Nobody gives a shit. Mm-mm. No, but I've been talking to Ashley Albrand, who hasn't shaved her legs in like a decade, and after a while. Like something happens with the hair on your legs. It just disperses.
What?
Yeah. She sends me videos of it. It's like because we shave all the time, the hair gets really coarse and dark and intense. Yeah. It's like hair is like, ah!
Exactly.
Stop killing me!
They get stronger and stronger every time.
What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
And she says that hair is literal like DNA information. It's our tentacles. It's how we communicate to the universe and to spirit. Uh-huh. Like Native Americans believe that we have all our power in our hair. So all the hair in our bodies, it's like this super sacred thing that we need to cherish and not, you know, violate or cut off or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when I feel like unhappy about my leg hair, like right now, it's even Dennis was like, how long are you keeping this up this time? I was like, for the rest of my life. But then I talk to her and she makes me feel better because after a while, like it's like the hair just chills out.
Yeah.
And if you live in the sunny place, it gets a little blonder and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have all the prerequisites in Aruba for that.
I don't. Sweden. Oh my God.
We'll see where it goes. I wanted to do a YouTube video about it, but I don't have the energy.
About your hairy legs?
Yes. I feel like it could be like good content to show also the moments that are hard.
Yeah,
and like,
I totally support it.
Okay. Will you come film it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We can make it like a joint experience.
Yeah.
No. I love the visual of the hair. Are you drunk?
Drunk? No, I barely even touched my drink.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm not drunk. I'm just happy. I'm really happy right now. I'm happy to not have to care about anything for this trip. There's nothing we have to do.
I know.
Like, there's nothing.
So nice.
We can just sleep. And there's no pressure. Like, we don't have to explore the whole city. Like, we can just also just day drink. Or sleep. Or, you know, shop or whatever. Like, there's no pressure. Ice skate. Ice skate. We really want to go ice skating. Yeah. And tomorrow we're going to this... tell me about what we're doing
going
tomorrow.
To this show, like, how do you call it when it's interactive? Yeah, I think it's kind of interactive show called Sleep No More. So
it's super scary. I don't even know
what it's gonna be. So nice.
But you booked forward. It.
Yeah.
So it's like
a scary thing, and you walk around. So you check in to a hotel, so to speak, and then you just walk around in the hotel, and things happen in each room, and then it's.
But
scary.
Are there going to be like ghosts and like people doing things? Like,
but like it's like a story.
Spökhuset at Grönlund. That's what I'm envisioning. Spökhuset with alcohol. Is that it?
But you can't drink while you walk, I think. So you just like have a drink or something, and then you start walking.
So it's like theater, but you're moving.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And the things happen.
And you wear masks
with you in. Yeah, and you wear a mask so you can't see who anybody is.
Oh, holy shit. I'm so excited. I don't even know how you found this. This is so fun.
I've been wanting to
that
go
was
for
your
so long.
Booking. I love it. My main booking was the vegan high tea at the Plaza. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
Crazy excited about that. Yeah, you're vegan now.
I'm vegan now.
Oh my God, look at that segue. You're vegan. You're so professional. I'm such a great interviewer. Oh my God. Someone should give me like awards.
Yes.
What's it like being vegan?
Man. It's super nice. I get the questions so much, like, what changed? What has been hardest? And I really don't feel like it's been hard, for one. Like, I don't. It's so easy now.
What made you take the plunge?
I think we were having the conversation. You remember when Siri, you and me were sitting drinking wine and just talking about being vegan? I don't remember exactly what you said. But
it was after James was there, I think.
Yeah.
And I was talking about, we were talking about the ethical piece more than everything. Like, normally we talk about health and environment. And I think we were talking about, like, calves
the
being
industry.
Removed from cows. Like, we were talking about the love for animals.
For me, it's a lot about the industry and how I can't support it. It's just horrible. But I had been thinking about it so much before that day. And then when we spoke about it again, it was like, yeah, I mean, what is keeping me from it, actually? And also, I've been thinking, oh, you know, no, I can just keep my doors open. Like, if I want to eat something, I can just do that or whatever. And that was great for me. But then I feel like a hypocrite, because if I don't actually take the clear stance, I will never contribute to change. So it's just like, okay, I've been letting other people lead the way for so long now. It's just my time to jump on the train. And I'm not
saying...
Plus
it's hard when it's not defined, I find. It's like, once you're vegan, you're vegan.
Yeah.
You're just... being 99% is like...
harder.
Yeah.
No, definitely. So it wasn't... It was really not hard. But I mean, we've been eating pretty much vegan at home for a long time. Patrick also is a big supporter. And Hunter basically eats vegan too, with some exceptions. And so that part was very, very easy. And now going out is getting so much easier, feel like, from week to week. I feel like in Stockholm, there's been places opening up every month that are vegan or vegan friendly, or it's just very easy. What's going to be hard for me, I think, is going back to France. Where I grew up, and where I just love all these.
I had an episode talking about how much I was hating France.
I know, it's so sad because the place is magical, and then you were just hating on it.
But I was very specific in hating on it from a vegan perspective, not having a kitchen to cook in. So when we go back, which of course we'll go back, is one of the most beautiful places in the whole world. It's unbelievably amazing. We were looking at real estate, like we should try to buy a house here. Like, you know, we love it. Provence is amazing, but you need a kitchen to cook in. It's not like you can go around the corner to find the vegan cafe to eat.
It's not super vegan.
And we didn't have a kitchen.
It's very local, though.
Very local. Like, there's great markets. That's amazing. So, if you just have a kitchen to cook, like, it's a great destination.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that traveling will be more difficult. Like, now I've been going to LA, New York. Rome was actually easier than I thought.
Oh, really?
Well, I just love pasta with tomato sauce.
Yeah, that's so good.
And then the pizza is amazing without cheese.
Pizza is great without cheese.
Yeah.
Something that I've really missed is cacio e pepe.
What's that? You know,
Oh. When we were in Rome for our honeymoon, that's like we drank Aperol Spritz and ate cacio pepe. That's it. It's a spaghetti with some specific type of cheese and black pepper, like cooked in a really specific way. But it's, yeah, it's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, but now I have a,
those things.
Like Dennis now, he's like Mr. Vegan.
That's
he's
huge.
Super vegan, yeah. Super into cooking and super into making. He loves junk food, so he loves making vegan versions of junk food. So it's much easier for us as a family, at least, to do it now.
Yeah.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
With a new year comes New Year's resolutions. Except I have never been a fan of the word resolution. I also don't think resolutions actually usually work. True change and healthy habits can only come from a place of self-love and making it fun for yourself. Take movement, for example. We're not supposed to take it seriously so that it's not fun anymore, especially when there are so many things to try. I've been doing some running here and there, some biking, some Pilates, and of course, everyday yoga. If you want to try new and different things too, I suggest you look up ClassPass, the way to mix things up and make things fun in 2019. ClassPass is an all-access membership to over 14,000 of the best gyms and studios all over the world. You can go where you want, when you want, and how you want. Try yoga, strength training, spin, bar, or even boxing, and try it all without the commitment to a single gym or overpaying for drop-ins. ClassPass gives you the variety and accountability you need to attend class and move your body. With my half Ironman coming up this year, I need all the accountability I can get. They have something for everyone, near your work, near your house, even if you travel a ton. It's perfect if you're constantly on the go for business. ClassPass is everywhere and has everything you need to make movement fun. So you don't have to take it too seriously. Monthly memberships start at $15 and you can cancel at any time. Mix it up and find the perfect studios and classes just for you. Get your first month for free at classpass.com/try/yogagirl. That's classpass.com/try/yogagirl for your first month for free. classpass.com/try/yogagirl. A question we got is in which ways are you guys really similar and in which ways are we really different? We have a lot in common. Vegan now is one. It's nice. It's not like we had a huge problem.
I was
going to
say, we are very different.
You're like, we have a lot in common. We have a lot in common, obviously. Doesn't mean that we're the same.
No.
No.
No, we're definitely different.
What's the biggest difference in our personality?
I don't know. Just our way of just like being in a room is different.
How am I in a room?
You don't have to ask so many follow-up questions. You're just different, all right?
How am I different in a room? I can take it. I know myself.
No, but you're non-apologetic. That's amazing.
I haven't felt that way this year. I felt like I was very apologetic in 2018. Yeah.
Maybe that's why you...
Maybe that's why I had a shitty year, because I wasn't myself
living
as much.
Fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it could be. Yeah, but you... Because... Usually, at least, you go into a room and you take up the space while giving others space too. But you're like, you're there.
But you have that too. You're just less in people's face. You're like a less obnoxious version of me. I'm like, hello, I have arrived. And Olivia's like, I'm here too.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yes. Yeah. It's different. It's different. What is
what do you think? What do you think?
I don't know. I think we both have a lot of similarities in that we like to take care of other people, like a lot. And also we like to study and research and read and like, I don't know, I feel like we can have really good, not all of our friends, we can have conversations about topics that we're passionate about and feminism and activism and, you know, I feel like we are intellectually, we have a lot in common in our views of the world and things like that. But
you're just a little smarter.
No, that's so not
true.
That's so not
you're
true.
Like
you're
insane.
The smartest person
you can do
I know.
Like 100 things at the same time and read
that's
like 100
not intelligence.
Books at the same time.
That's just a high level of multitasking, which I have learned is not super great.
Why?
Actually, because it means you're not directing your complete attention. It brings about stress doing a thousand things at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be less stressed.
I should be less stressed. Hearing that is so,
so
stressful. Like on the plane here, I like finished editing my book, read two books, and I packed five books for this trip because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get so much reading done. like, and then I have to be like, hey, this is a vacation. Why do you have to get anything done?
Yeah.
Can you just
I forgot my chill. Books.
Well, good for you.
Everything.
Yeah, good. I aspire to be more of that. But how about the ways that...
What?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it was a door outside.
It's a ghost.
What?
It's already started. What about, this is a fun question, what most annoys you about each other?
Somebody asked that, or you just want to know?
Somebody asked that.
No.
I know all the things. I don't think you can say anything that's going to surprise you.
No.
No.
You're smacking?
Same as Dennis. Dennis has always said that.
Yes, and me too.
Oh no. Just eating an olive, okay? Well, that's not a unique answer, okay? Everybody knows that's true. No.
Okay, your turn.
I don't want to be mean.
Okay, now she's going to be mean. This is telling me... I'm sorry if I'm going to be mean.
No, sometimes it annoys me that you second guess yourself.
Oh, yeah. That must be super annoying.
No, but yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No, I understand. Yes.
Sometimes.
It's okay.
Yeah. Because it's very true. Like, yeah. like you have such good convictions and sometimes you know exactly where to go and what to do. Like you have this... And then someone doubts you or someone's like, but my way is better. And you're like, okay. And then I'm like, fuck, Olivia.
I know.
Do what Olivia wants.
No, that's one of my biggest problems.
But that's also not a surprising thing. Like, we know about that.
No, and I guess also a lot of people can recognize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not good. I mean, sometimes it's good to like just take another round with your thought or something.
Do you think it's a middle child thing?
No, I think it's pretty just human.
Yeah, thing. I mean, yeah. But isn't it common for the middle child to be maybe. Like pleasing the people on both sides kind maybe. Of a little bit yeah. more?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Could be.
I can't remember what the book was. I read a book about like how you're born. So the firstborn people tend to be XYZ and the last youngest tend to be in this way. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or if it's...
I think there can be a lot of similarities between who's the first, second and third, but there can also be...
Yeah, I think about that, like, if we would have more babies, you know.
Yeah.
Just sharing your parents with someone, I mean, that's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Of course, it's amazing and beautiful having siblings. I mean, I have 7 of them, you have 2 sisters. We all know how great that is, but the first moment of, like, having to...
Yeah,
yeah.
Not being the only one anymore.
Yeah.
Like, whole world is falling apart.
Yeah, but a little bit.
Yeah,
I could imagine that a little bit, but also probably in a really healthy way of like, oh wait, the whole world does not revolve around me.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Only me, like it's probably a really healthy thing to have. But yeah.
Okay, something else that can annoy me.
Bring it on. You have to come with a bigger one.
Yeah, okay, so sometimes
this means all the time. When I say I don't want to be mean, it's because something mean is coming. Yeah. And you say sometimes. Actually, all the time.
No, but like if something happens to you and you take it immediately, you take it pretty personal. And then you let the like anger or drama come in. And then after a while, after you've been reflecting, that's when you realize, okay, it's not that bad.
Yes.
But like, why do you have to take that whole round? Why can't you just like reflect first and then realize it's okay?
But then there would be no drama or excitement in our lives. Who? If me and Patrick didn't bring some drama into
in my life? Yeah, that's true. Dennis and I would be so better off.
Dennis and you, if roles were reversed, and you guys were married, you would have this...
Such a simple life.
I'm envisioning like, oh my God, I don't know how to say this politically correct, but like, you know, one of those religions where they have no electricity and they like...
Oh, yeah.
Like an Amish family.
Oh, really?
And you would tend to the garden and you would live in complete harmony and you would never ever have sex.
Hopefully not.
You would be such a dull.
Such a dull, very such a nice. Dull,
very pleasant experience.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's super funny. No, it is totally, really, really super true. But for me, that's my, and actually I had a, I didn't tell you that, but because I don't know, I forgot, but I had a, an astrology reading from a Vedic astrologer, which is the Indian astrology, which one house is off.
Okay.
He told me all the same things as the Western astrologers have told me.
Okay.
But he said in Vedic astrology, there is something called, I can't remember what it's, what the word is, but your life's purpose. And your life's purpose in Vedic astrology, it's not, it's not what comes easy for you. He said something really interesting. He was like, oh, because we were at the studio and we had a teacher training and there was like 100 people there. And he was like, you probably think this is your purpose, manifesting things and being big and loud. And you probably think so. And I was like, I would hope so, that this is part of my purpose, you know, because this is my whole business. And he's like, no, no, this is too easy for you. Your life purpose involves overcoming your biggest obstacle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so what is it?
Yeah.
And he said, I can't define it for you, but your life purpose is overcoming and learning how to sit with emotional discomfort. Mm. And I was like, isn't that everybody's life purpose? This feels very generalized. But I can sense that because I feel like I do have a harder time than other people to sit with, like, I don't know. Everything is always comes with a little bit of drama for me, or a little bit of like, I don't know, but sometimes the same thing happens to me and Dennis, and I'm like, I can't believe that's such a personal attack. And he was like, what? They weren't even talking about us.
Yeah, no.
Like, we take things totally different. Yep. And sometimes I'm right, and sometimes he's right, and sometimes there's a middle.
Mm.
But life would be easier for me if I could just reflect first.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just that's just my whole life's practice, I guess.
Yeah, but also maybe, I mean, there's always something positive with all the challenges that we have. I mean, maybe that's why you are where you are. Like, maybe
because I create so many challenges for myself.
Yeah. And also because of the drama gets you somewhere every time, you know? You like evolve.
I mean, that's kind of the meaning of this podcast. It's like every week I'm like, man, I'm having this problem.
And then I talk with you guys about it?
And I'm like, la, 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 la. And then like at the end, I'm like, oh, everything makes perfect sense. And
that's the second one today. Not me, though.
Olivia just broke a glass. Whoa.
Okay.
Actually, so I don't mean to be mean. But it really annoys me when you break all of our glasses.
Well, excuse me, you were the one who broke the first one.
Are you ready to go have dinner? Okay, let's take one final question.
Yeah, what time? Oh, shit.
We have to get going.
Let her just clear her throat
okay.
first.
Sorry, I'm so stuffy right now. Okay, we're going to do a final question. Do you think that friendship can last forever?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people ask that they're maybe going through difficult times in their friendships. Do you think
that's
why
different?
People
I mean,
yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
We've also been kind of difficult times.
When have we had difficult times?
No, I don't know. Not like we were losing hope or anything. But I mean, when we all started 109 and when that started going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just changed a lot. Then we had to just clear the air a little bit, I feel.
Yeah, that's no, super, super true. But it's also some people, like me and Daniela, in our lives, we've definitely had more challenges and ups and downs than you and I have ever had.
Yeah, but you're still friends.
Yeah, but we're still super close. So it's just, it's maybe some friendships, you need to have those up and downs and highs and lows more than with others. But how about, because that was the overwhelming amount of questions we got, was how do you keep your friendships close? How do you nurture your friendships? How do you do it from a long distance? How do you keep them lasting for a long time? It's not easy. It's harder to stay friends as an adult, I think.
Yeah.
Because when you're in school and you're young, you're like forced to see each other every day. So spending time together.
Yeah, I mean, and also friends are like the only thing in your life.
Right. It's like, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's
and
everything.
Now you have family, you have work, and it's a lot of
we started doing something stuff. after I did the podcast with Seal. We started FaceTiming more with our faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And you hated that.
No, I just dislike talking on the phone in general.
Yeah. But also the FaceTime part of it.
Mm.
You're like, let's just text. Is that?
Yeah.
But it's something different about that.
No, it is. Yeah.
Seeing each other. Taking the time to connect.
Something we've done. And also this. I mean, taking the time to actually see each other and not like running past each other every time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it requires some effort, I think. And then sometimes I think, okay, the friendships that I have where maybe I'm a little sad that we've lost touch or, you know, and I can always say, oh, but I didn't nurture that friendship as well.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have prioritized it more or make the effort to call or text or stay in touch, then of course everything is a little bit easier. So maybe we need to look at our friendships the way we look at our business or at our family or, you know.
Yeah. But also, I'm just trying to pinpoint what it is, but I feel like you and I, we never like think the intentions are bad between us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't text or call in 2 weeks, I don't think like, okay, she's hating on me or this and that must have happened or whatever. It's just like, okay, life happened. So when you don't like suspect each other so much, mm-hmm. maybe it's easier.
When there's trust there.
Yeah.
So maybe if there is something unresolved in the friendship, and this goes for any relationship, I mean,
yeah.
we talked a lot about our parents today and all of that. Like if there's anything in a relationship that isn't 100% cleared, then it's going to be harder to maintain that daily contact or weekly or whatever it has to be.
You put some distance between for sure.
Yeah. So feel your feelings and deal with your stuff.
Yeah.
And nurture the people you love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you so much.
I love you.
We don't need any alcohol tonight.
No.
Like, whatsoever.
It's enough. Oh my God, we've been talking for an hour.
I know. Good job. Thanks for coming all the way to New York with me and for going on the podcast.
Thank you for being here with me.
I love you. Everyone listening, take this moment to go nurture your friendships, text your besties and tell them you love them, and book a trip somewhere because that shit is awesome. We'll see you, or I will see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a huge thanks to my friend Olivia Rothschild for joining me on the show. If you have enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And of course, don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and thanks to my sponsors, TransferWise, Ritual, Lone Body, and ClassPass. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.